Tappers, what is up? How's everybody doing? It is Thursday, December 20th, 5 days away from Christmas. Hope you have your Christmas shopping done. If you don't, we do not have merch to pitch, but I do have to tell you, make sure you're telling your friends to Snowtap WI. You're like, I listen to this great podcast. It's my favorite Wisconsin sports podcast. I love the Daily Tap. Tapping the Keg, Weekend Watch List, Part of Immersed Fantasy gives you everything you need for a podcast network, if you will. So you get something different every day. Happy to talk today. We're going to talk Bucks. Are they the best team in the NBA? Not just the East, in the NBA. And then also chat about Aaron Rodgers intending to play in and the Big Badger recruiting class. All things to get excited about. Do you want to call out a schedule for next week, just so you're curious? Weekend watch list tomorrow. Excited to talk about the Bulls. Shout out to San Diego State for being fucking awful yesterday. We'll talk Bulls. We'll talk about my Bull record, as well as chat about next week's games, including the Badgers. We will look at the – we'll take – Parmer's Fantasy may or may not be there for the final week of the season. I'm not sure. He's traveling and doing all sorts of stuff. So hopefully we get Murph. If we don't, no big deal. Then I will be taping one on Christmas Eve, get you guys sort of ready for the week, talk Packers-Jets, look at Bucks, Knicks on Christmas Day and what this all means for Milwaukee. Take a day off. We'll be back on the 26th to recap what happened with the Bucks and anything else going on in the sports world. We'll do daily taps on the 26th and 27th, weekend watch list on the 28th, and then the 31st, we will have a daily tap. So we're still planning to go during the holiday season. It's not necessarily no days off, if you will, but we're definitely not going to just sort of go away. I had a lot of podcasts, a lot of radio shows just stop working right around the 21st. You got a lot of fill-ins. You got a lot of best ofs. We are going to have a best of to Happy the Keg, by the way. Mitch is going to be working on that, but We also will have podcasts ready and rolling for you guys. So we are not going to leave you stranded. You are going to have podcasts, even if you're off or if you're working, we have you taken care of. All right, let's waste no more time. Talk about these Milwaukee Bucks. So Milwaukee Bucks got it done yesterday. They beat the New Orleans Pelicans 123-115. Great Bucks win. Bucks continue to add up good wins against good opponents. It's not like they're facing the sisters of the poor here. And they trailed in the second half. They were down six. Anthony Davis had missed part of the game with an illness, was what they were calling it. The Bucks came back with a fury. Even with Davis stepping into the game, they were able to take control and kind of remedy the ties. Defense really played well. Even though Giannis was held scoreless down the stretch, they still received a big effort from the bench. The bench had 49 points, led by DJ Wilson, who had 9 of them. Tony Snell had 13. DJ Wilson played awesome last night, and DJ Wilson continues to sort of shine. All of a sudden, DJ Wilson is sort of coming on as a rotational player, and that is really significant for the Bucks. And these sort of last couple games have led me to think maybe the Bucks are the best team in the NBA. And I know that's a tough thing for fans of Milwaukee to get around, right? We are hashtag never trust the Bucks. We're hashtag just a Bucks fail. I mean, there are things that people just, it makes people nervous to talk about. But like, here's the thing. They are 4-1 against Denver and Toronto. Or no, I'm sorry, 4-0 against Denver and Toronto. Two of the best teams in the NBA. They lost one game to Golden State, so 6-1. That's Golden State's probably their like against the elite teams. That's their one loss. Yeah, Boston is an issue, and I do think that we'll talk about it on the weekend watch list tomorrow, but that game is so important for a variety of reasons. So we'll chat about tomorrow. I'll leave that for it. But I really do think that the Bucks have what it takes to be an NBA Finals team and be, you know, sort of that maybe a Finals favorite. I mean, that probably belongs to the Warriors because the Warriors are still the kings of the league. I mean, there's no questioning that the Warriors are sort of the top tier team in the league, no matter what their record is, because they have the crown, they have the experience, that's sort of what they are. But you look at this, now Bucks are 1.5 games back of the Toronto Raptors. Raptors did win, came back to beat the Pacers last night. Pacers now have lost 2 straight. They are now in the 4th position at 20-12. But the Bucks, I mean, really, you look at this top 5, and you look at the Bucks, Raptors, Sixers, Pacers, Celtics, I would put the Bucks up against any of them because, yes, the Giannis factor. Giannis, to me, is the MVP of the league. He is showing just such a breakout season. He's not fully there yet because the you know, shot isn't there, but he can just dunk on anyone. Anyone can be a victim for Giannis, and I really think that Antetokounmpo has just shined this year and been great. But really, who's going to stop Giannis on those teams? I mean, none of them have shown the ability. Yeah, the Pacers did a little bit, but I'd argue that the Bucks kind of were out of gas in that game. I'd like to see Bucks-Pacers again with a more fresh Bucks team. They play them, I think, at the start of the new year at the Fiserv Forum, where the Bucks have already beat the Pacers. So we'll see what that game's outcome. So let's not overreact too much to that. And you look at the Western Conference, and it's like, why does anyone really think the Western Conference is that good? If the Bucks were in the Western Conference, they'd be tied for the best record in the league at 21-9. I mean, the West has a deep roster. I mean, they have 10 teams right now with records over 500, or 11, excuse me. But still, it's not necessarily that deep. Like, it's not necessarily, they do not have, they're deep, but they don't have anyone that's really that good. It's more of a parity in the West that anyone can really overtake the other. So I really like, and I think what's making me think highly of this Bucks team and what's sort of doing this is the DJ Wilson, Sterling Brown thing, because those guys weren't expected to be rotational players this year. You add DJ Wilson and Sterling Brown to the mix on top of Pat Connaughton and Ersan Ilyasova, who will at some point be back. Ersan's battling a broken nose. That sucks. That could be a few weeks before Ersan's back on the court. Pat Connaughton's dealing with a knee issue. So you add Ersan and Connaughton to the mix on top of your draft picks, your young players, George Hill. All of a sudden, the Bucks have a very deep team, and a team that can beat you in many ways, that it doesn't have to just be Giannis. It could be one of the bench players. It could be Chris Middleton. And the other thing, too, is like the Bucks have had a pretty successful December, and Chris Middleton's been awful throughout the entire time. So the Bucks are still flourishing with the guy that's supposed to be their second banana struggling. It's like they are a best team in the NBA. No question about it. They deserve to be that sort of top tier team right now. They are your easily in the top 4, and they're probably, to me, the finals contender of the East. And I feel good saying that. I realize that you're like, well, you're biased or you're overreacting. Fine, but I just don't know who can fuck with us. Like, tell me, really, is Toronto really going to be that team? Like, Toronto, to me, has shown more vulnerability on at home than the Bucks have this year. Toronto's lost a couple more games, but, like, they trailed against Indiana by double digits. Now, granted, they came back and won that game. Good for them. But, like, Toronto's lost at home a few times this year, and now the Bucks have as well, but, like, they're 14-3 at home. They've established a home court, and and that's another like low key headline of this is like the Fiserv Forum is a must go place. Like, it is a thing to do in Milwaukee. Like, when the Bucks are in town, it's like, should we get tickets and go to this game? Now, granted, I'm kind of a hypocrite because I haven't been to one yet, and part of it is just it's been bad timing. I regret not going to the Bulls Bucks game when I got offered the chance. You know, I kind of want to get out to the Knicks game this weekend. They do play the Nets at 4 o'clock, which is like, oh, it's tempting next week, but you have the college football playoffs. So I don't know. Maybe I'd do that and watch a little bit of both, watch the stream as I'm watching our Bucks. So I love what the Bucks are doing. If you don't love what the Bucks are doing, if you're going to still be pessimistic about this team, who's won 21 of their first 30 games this year, just don't be a fucking fan. Like, I understand the pessimists, the Mitch Rosses of the world, but still, even them are going to recognize that the Bucks are playing good basketball and do the damn thing. So, I love you, Bucks. Hopefully, it continues. All right, moving on to the Green Bay Packers. So, Aaron Rodgers is going to play on Sunday amid a lot of fans and local media's best wishes. A lot of them think Rodgers should sit. Rodgers should take a break. I have very spirited discussion on our Facebook post about this, and I built a case both for and against Aaron Rodgers. Some comments were like, you don't drive a Ferrari in the winter, which is an interesting comment because, like, you do drive Aaron Rodgers is a Ferrari, but you do drive him in the winter when you need him. I mean, if you have a Ferrari, you just are like, all right, it's put away for winter. We're not using it. It was an interesting comment. Someone called him a Sally. I'm tired of his Sally ways. It's like, dude, he's fucking playing. Played through a knee injury, played through a groin injury. I mean, what more do you want from him? But, you know, it's interesting. Facebook's just an interesting world, guys. So I like that Rodgers is playing. I know that originally I came out and said, I think Kaiser should go. You know what? If Rodgers wants to play, let him play. And if he gets hurt, that's football, man. Like, you can get hurt on any fucking play. I know that people are like, these games don't matter. They're not important. Yes, that's true. But this game obviously matters to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers thought this game didn't matter, he wouldn't be playing. He'd say, you know what? This is useless. I'm fine not playing. Like, take, for example, the game he didn't play against Detroit years ago when Matty Flynn lit it up. He knew, he was like, we're 15-1. There's no reason for me to play. I'm not going to play and injure myself for the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers didn't play because it didn't matter to him. This matters. And he said it in his press conference. He's like, look, it comes down to leadership. He wants to be the leader of this team. He wants to show that these games are important, that we need to win and finish strong. And that's what Rodgers is doing. I do think there is a part of it that he wants to show management that, look, we play for Joel Philbin. We want Joel Philbin to be our coach. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that they want to showcase, like, we won 3 of our last 4. We want to end on a high note and finish off. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. I mean, we saw it, not to, like, compare sports, and it's a little different. But, like, the Wisconsin Badgers, like, Alex Hornibrook came back to play against the Gophers. And you kind of want to end that season on the high note, beating Minnesota. And instead, you got your ass kicked. Now, do I think the Packers are going to get their ass kicked by the Jets? No, I think they get it done. But, and I really think there is a sense of pride for Green Bay because I do not think they want to go winless on the road. I think that really matters to them. I think it's really important that they do not want to join that. And I believe that that is part of this Aaron Rodgers is playing. Now, against Detroit, maybe he says, you know what? I got banged up kind of a lot in this Jets game and I don't want to risk further injury. And if that's what happens, then fine. Then I'm okay with that. I think everybody would be okay if he plays 1 of 2. I mean, I think there is we want to win on the road. We want to get this done. I also think next week, and I brought this up in my post earlier this week, is like, I don't think they want to lose 4 straight to the Lions. I think that matters too. And like, I know that people want to say NFL is a business and you want to keep your guys as healthy as possible, but if these guys want to play and do their job, then let them do it. Imagine you working and you're doing something you love and your boss tells you, like, hey, we're just going to not have you do this for 2 weeks. We're going to sit you down and just, you're not going to do it. But in, you know, next year you can pick this project back up. Like, what the fuck would you say? You'd be like, fuck you. I want to play. I want to do this. I want to do what I love. Sorry about that. And so I really think that Aaron Rodgers is doing what he wants to do. And that's okay. That's fine. I love that he's showing leadership. I love that he wants to get out there and play football. I think also, too, like, to put a cherry on this, Brett Favre played through a 13-3 season. Brett Favre didn't miss one of those games. He played through every one of the 3-13 season. I said 13-3. 3-13 season. That was what Brett Favre did, and you have to admire that. Favre was about the same age as Rodgers when he did that, and he played through that entire fucking year. Sure, there was the whole streak on the line, but he still played. So you have to understand that. I think that plays a massive role in this whole thing. To wrap up the show, we're going to talk a little bit about Badger football recruiting. I wanted to write about this the last 2 days, and I've been sort of busy in between things, haven't got the opportunity. So definitely bringing it on the podcast. Like, do people realize how good this Badger recruiting class is? So I don't really follow football recruiting, basketball recruiting that closely. When Marquette or Wisconsin in basketball, football get someone big, Marquette, obviously not football, to save your jokes, that something happens, I'm like, oh, wow, great, they got this big recruit. But with football, it's tough because there's so many recruits. You don't necessarily know everyone, know what they're about. Jesse Temple wrote an awesome piece for The Athletic. If you are a subscriber, make sure you're reading that. Jesse Temple wrote this long piece about the Badger recruiting class. He also wrote a great feature on Logan Brown, a five-star recruit who's coming to the Badgers, who's an offensive tackle, who from frame, size, everything you read, like, dude could fucking start on day one, and I wouldn't be really surprised. He may. I'm not sure. But yes, they have some amazing talent. Brown, to me, is underrated. A lot of people are talking about Graham Mertz. Or Mets, is it Mets or Mertz? Whatever. He's going to be a real deal. I think it's going to be a tough year. We're going to have a lot to talk about next fall. Because people think he could start as a freshman, and I don't think so. I actually think, kind of a bold prediction, if you want a bold prediction, I think Jack Cohen might be the starter next year. We're going to talk about it on the weekend watch list about Badger Miami, but Jeff Patricus had a little note that, hey, Cohen's been working with the first team. And a part of me wonders if Hornibrook will either retire or if Hornibrook will transfer and maybe just be done at Wisconsin. I would not be surprised. And it's not that I think Alex Hornibrook, is whatever. The done at Wisconsin would be the concussions that he's just realized, like, hey, look, I have way too many of these. I'm just going to go out and not get another one, because I do think another concussion would be pretty serious for Alex Hornibrook, all things considered. I'm not sure if that's pure speculation by me. I know, but back to Mertz, I don't think he can start as a freshman. I just don't see a pathway. I'm not saying he should like redshirt, but I think sophomore year definitely is a year for him. He needs a year of working with this team and really sort of being that. I know that if the Badgers struggle next year, that people are going to be banging down the drums. Now, it could be a situation where if they're 8-4 or 7-5 and playing in a meaningless bowl game and Jonathan Taylor's missing it because he's going to enter the NFL draft, that's a great time for Graham to get his first start. Absolutely. Set up the next season, get it going, see what you have with that young quarterback. I think that's definitely a possibility. And now you look at other players. Julius Davis is another guy, Badger running back. He's from Menominee Falls. He had a lot of different people looking at him. People think he could be the next great Badger running back. He could, back up David. He could back up Taylor next year because Taiwan Deal's leaving this year. Garrett Groshak will be there as well. But he could be a definite change of pace guy for Jonathan Taylor. Definitely fits that mold. And I really do think the Badgers have, and there are other guys, they have a big tight end, defensive lineman. They have sort of a massive class. They're ranked 27th in the composite rankings. That's the best the Badgers have ever done since online rankings. And I think it's my column was going to be, or post, whatever, was going to be, how excited should you be about a big recruiting class? And I think what it is you should be, you should have tempered excitement. This could be a class that ends up being a team that gets the Badgers to a college football playoff, maybe a national championship game. It could also be maybe one or two guys is great, and then the other ones either transfer, don't live up to the hype, it doesn't work out. You have college recruiting is like a more crapshoot than the NFL draft, but it's similar in the sense that you have to be patient. You have to wait till these guys develop, and when they do, then it's worth getting excited about. You really can't get excited about this recruiting class till 2021 when you have two years of them playing in the Badger system. And I do think Paul Chryst did a fantastic job with this recruiting class. He deserves a ton of credit for any fan that was breathing down his neck, which some people mentioned that people wanted him out. I didn't really see that. I mean, Barry Alvarez even brought that up. I didn't see that, but if you are one of those, like, this recruiting class should shut you up for a long time. So I think there's reason to be optimistic about Badger football for years to come. All right, that does it for us for this week on the Daily Tap. We'll be back tomorrow to do the weekend watch list. Again, a loaded weekend watch list because we are doing a week's worth of bowl previews along with picks. I am 4-2, right? Yep, 4-2. We will see how I do with the Gasparilla bowl tonight. I have not made a decision on Marshall or South Florida. If you have a pick, send it my way. All right, take care of yourself. Have a good one. We'll talk tomorrow. See you.